Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Erev and Daf Pei Dalid. We are holding on Daf Pei Gimel and Beis. We're going to pick up again from Tanan Anshei Chatzer, four lines from the end of the page. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and also by Rabbi Ari and Rachi Mirzoff, Li'iloi Nishmas, their grandmother Yehudis Pastor of Yosef Halevi, Allah Shalom's yard site was Friday. I think we were supposed to announce it on Friday. Yud Beis Cheshvan, the Neshama Shav and Aliyah, and I thank Rav Ari and Rachi very much for the sponsorship, all the sponsors for the sponsorship. So we are holding, again, about four lines from the end of the page. Today's daf has one topic and one topic only, and that is that we closed yesterday's daf with a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. When you have a situation where you have lezebes shilshul, lezebes rika, where both people have ishtamshus of an area, but we discussed how if two people have equal ishtamshus of the area, so then we know what the halacha is, that's going to be that if they don't have an eruv between them, it's good, they're both going to be aser to use that area. But if one has tashmisha benachas and one has a more difficult kind of tashmish with usage of the area, the one that has tashmisha benachas, the one that is an easier usage of the area, is the one that has the rights to that area. So we were talking about chatzar and amar peset, that the people in the chatzar for a very low kind of stoop, they have easy access to it, but the people up on the aliyah or up in the amar peset may have more difficulty accessing it because it's much lower than where they are, so it belongs to the people in the chatzar. But what we had, the machlokas was between Rav and Shmuel, what if you have two sets of people that all are not tashmisha benachas, but different kinds of not tashmisha benachas? It's lozeb, shilshul, lozeb, izrika. One of them can only access the area by going lower, because it's more than 10 tfachim beneath where they are, and the other one can only access by going higher, bizrika, because it's more than 10 tfachim above where they are. Do we say that since they're both not tashmisha benachas, it's going to be that they're both going to be asur, that shneim asurin, that is in fact the shita of Rav? Or do we say no, everything is relative, you still do have a situation of tashmisha benachas over here, because the one that's bishilshul is easier than the one that's bizrika, so it's easier to access the area by going lower rather than by reaching up, and therefore, like Shmuel says, also lezeh shebishilshul, because that's more tashmisha benachas than the one that's tashmisha bizrika. And we measure it in a relative sense, not in an absolute sense. That was the machlokas Rav and Shmuel. That machlokas is the subject of the entire daf today. We're going to try to prove who's correct. We're going to have four rayas, two rayas to Shmuel from Mishnayos, two rayas to Rav from Brisos, and that's it. That's the entire daf. So now, let's pick up again from Tnan, about four lines from the end of the page, where we begin Raya number one. So Raya number one is our Mishnah. Tnan, it says in our Mishnah, that Anshei Chatzar v'Anshei Marpesas Shachu v'lo Irvu. If you have people that live in a Chatzar, and people that have access to Marpesas, and through that Marpesas they access the Aliyah, where they actually live, so they forgot, and they didn't make an Eruv between the Marpesas and the Chatzar. They did make an Eruv within each one independently. The Bnei Chatzar made their own Eruv, the Bnei Aliyah made their own Eruv, but they didn't join together in an Eruv, so kol shegavoa asara tfachim, anytime you have you have a mound in the Chatzar that's 10 tfachim high, l'mar pesas, that belongs to the Bnei Mar Pesas, but pachos mikan l'chatzar, if it's less than 10 tfachim high, then it belongs to the Chatzar. That's what the Mishnah said. So kasal k'daitach mai mar pesas, we're working with the assumption that when we talk about a situation where there's a marpeses, what does it mean? It means bnei aliyah. It means people who live on a higher area. Umay karla marpeses. And why do we call that a marpeses? Marpeses means a porch. Why are we referring to the bnei aliyah, the people who live on the higher floor, as marpeses? Because the way that they would access their homes is through a marpesa. So the tel in the chatzar, which is 10 tfachim high, is more than 10 tfachim below where they actually live. So it turns out, when the Mishnah had said that if it's 10 tfachim high, then the Bnei Chatzar do not have the rights to it, the Bnei Aliyah have the rights to it, we're actually talking about a case where it's lezebes shilshul and lezebes rika. The Bnei Aliyah are more than 10 tfachim above it. The Bnei Chatzar are more than 10 tefachim below it. And therefore, it's Lezebesh Shulshul Lezebesh. We said that it belongs to the Bnei Aliyah. Alma kol lezebesh shilshul lezebesh zrika nosa lezesh shilshul. That whenever you have this conflict between who has the right to that area, those who access it by going low or those who access it by going by reaching high. So apparently the halacha is the bnei aliyah who access it by going lower down are the ones that that have the rights to it. So that seems to be a clear raya to Shmuel and a kasha on Rav directly from our Mishnah. So says Gemara, no, we're making a mistake about the assumption over here of what the details of the case are. No, Kedam Rav Huna lo osna darim bimar peses, just like Rav Huna said in a different context. What is that different context? We're going to see that very soon. That's in the second raya that we're talking about those who live in the marpeses, meaning those whose front doors open up directly into the marpeses, not people who live above the marpeses and therefore have to need ladders to get from the marpeses to their actual homes, where their homes are more than 10 tefachim above this tel. No, people who actually live at the marpeset level. So Hachanami over here also, we're talking about that the tel belongs to the Bnei Aliyah, because the Bnei Aliyah are not more than 10 tefachim above the tel. Los nadarim b'marpeses. We're talking about people who live at the marpeset level. So the mound that's in the chatzar that's 10 tefachim or higher is the same height as the marpeses, or at least not a 10 tefach differential from the marpeses. And that's why the Mishnah says that it belongs to the Bnei Marpeses, because it's not Lezeb Shulshul. It's Lezeb Benachas, Lezeb Pesach. It's considered that they have easy access, even objectively easy access to that mound in the post that's in the chatzer, whereas the bnei chatzer it's lezebizrika. So that is not a raya at all to Shmuel, because the case is a case where everybody agrees, where it's lezeb pesach lezebizrika, that obviously you give it to the one that has tashmish benachas. Says Gemara, yeah, that's what it's talking about. Ihachi, if we're talking about people who actually live on the marpeset level and not people who live up in an aliyah somewhere, a maseifa. How do you go on to read the Hemshech of the Mishnah? The Mishnah goes on to say, Pachus Mikan, if the mound is less than 10 tefachim off the ground, L'chatzer, it belongs to the Bnei Chatzer and not to the Bnei Marpeses. But Amai, Lezeb Pesach, why would it only belong to the Bnei Chatzer and not also to the Bnei Marpeses? A star Marpeset is not so high. So probably, if the mound is 8 tefachim high or 9 tefachim high, it's probably not a 10 tefach differential between the top of that and the marpeset. So since we're talking about that, the marpeset and the chatzar are both within 10 tefachim, so it's both, it's lezeb pesach, lezeb pesach, each one has tashmisho benachas on that tel. So says Gemara, no, my lechatzar, what do you think we meant in that Mishnah when we said that it's lechatzar, it means af lechatzar, and therefore, since they both have equally easy access to it, ushneim asurin, they're both going to be asur, because remember, when everything is equal, since they don't have an eruv between them, so if they both have equal access to the area, it's going to be asur for both of them. So that's what it means. It didn't sound that way for the Mishnah. It sounded like we said it's a lechatzer, that the people in the chatzer have rights to use it and the people in Marpeset do not. But that's not what it means. The Gemara says it means that lechatzer means that since the people in the chatzer have just as easy access as the people in the Marpeset, therefore it's going to be asr for both of them. And hachinami mistavra, and it's mistavra to go with Rav's interpretation of our Mishnah, even if you wanted to say like Shmuel, it's most mistaver to say that lechatzer does not mean purely to the Bnei Chatzer, but lechatzer over here actually means af lechatzer, and therefore they're both going to be aser. Midiktani seifa, because the seifa goes on to say, b'med var mamurim, when do we say that the additional reshus that's 10 tefachim belongs to the marpeset? That's bismucha. That's only if it's right next to the marpeset. Avol b'mufleges, the Mishnah went on to say, but if it's more than 4 tefachim away, if this mound, this post is more than 4 tefachim away from the marpeset, then afilu gavo asar tefachim lechatzer, chatzer, then even if it's more than ten tefachim off the ground, it belongs to the chatzer. What do you mean it belongs to the chatzer? My lechatzer. What would that mean that it belongs to the chatzer? Ilei melechatzer b'shari. If it means like it sounds simply that it belongs to the chatzer and they're actually allowed to use it, am I? Why would they actually be allowed to use it? It's reshusa d'travayu. It's now equally difficult to access for both people, for both sets of people. The people in the chatzer, it's al yedei zrika. It's more than 10 tefachim off the ground. The people on the marpeset, it's far away from them. So if you have a situation where even though the Mishnah is talking about aliyos that are even if the Mishnah we're talking about, like Shmuel understands that it's a bnei aliyah and they're more than 10 tefachim higher, nevertheless it's tashmisho kasha equally for both of them. For the chatzer, it's bezrika, but 10 tefachim off the ground. For the aliyah, it's bezrika at a distance across, because they're not right. It's not right. The mound is not right next to. Plus, it's lower down. So even according to Shmuel, that shilshul legabe zrika is considered tashmisha benachas. That when you compare shilshul to zrika, shilshul is considered more tashmisha benachas than zrika is. Over here, where you have both shilshul and a zrika at some distance for the people that are higher up, that's at least as bad, at least as challenging as zrika for the bnei chatzer to go more than 10 tefachim high. So that's considered to be equal tashmish of the area. So why would we give Rishus only to the Bnei Chatzer? Elamai L'Chatzer, Af L'Chatzer. No, so clearly when we say L'Chatzer, we mean Af L'Chatzer, and therefore Ushnei Nasurin. We mean that since they both have equal usage of that area, so whenever all is equal and they don't have an area between them, it's also for everybody. So Achanami, my lechatzer, af lechatzer, shem asurim, shmamina. And therefore, the interpretation of that first line of the Mishnah that Rav had, that lechatzer means af lechatzer, isn't such a great chiddush, because you have to read that way later on in the Mishnah anyway. So apparently, when the Mishnah uses the term lechatzer, it means af lechatzer. So that's raya number one. So now says Gemara, let's go further in the Mishnah and bring another raya from our Mishnah to Shmuel against Rav. The Mishnah went on to say, Tanan chulias habar. If you have a chulia surrounding a bar, so when you dig out a bar, you have a lot of extra dirt. So what do you do with that dirt? You put it around the edge of the bar. So you have this mound protruding above the ground around the bar. Vehasela, or you have a rock that protrudes up from the ground. Kavon asare, that are 10 tefachim high. So for the Bnei Marpeset, we assume it's Tashmisho Benachas. So the Marpeset, it now belongs to the Bnei Marpeset. I mean, they're the ones that have the right to use it. But Pachos Mikan, if it's less than 10 tefachim off the ground, L'chatzer, so then it belongs to the Chatzer. So the Gemara, again, is working with the assumption that Marpeset doesn't mean people who live at the Marpeset level. Marpesets aren't so high. It means people who live all the way up in an Aliyah. They just access their home through a Marpeset. And nevertheless, we say that as long as the chulias habar in the sela is 10 tefachim above ground level, it goes l'marpeset. Now, how are the people in the marpeset going to use it? Al yedei shilshul, because it's more than 10 tefachim below where they are. How are the people in the chatzer, how would the people in the chatzer use it? Al yedei zrika. So this is exactly a case of l'zem shilshul, l'zem zrika, and the Mishnah says l'marpeset, that it belongs to the people in the marpeset. A raya to Shmuel and a raya against Rav. So comes along the Gemara, Amravuna. No, we're not talking about where their people are Bnei Aliyah and they live all the way high up. No, we're talking about people who live at the Marpeset level. It's not so high up. So when you have a post that's 10 tefachim off the ground, it's less than 10 tefachim lower than the Bnei Marpeset. That's the case that we're talking about. This is, remember, in the first, it's the same answer we gave in the first Raya. In the first Raya, we said, Kida Amar Rav Huna. Just like Rav Huna said elsewhere, so too over here, we have the same answer. Where did Rav Huna say elsewhere? Right here. This is the Rav Huna that we were talking about. So the Ritva points out it's a little bit odd, because obviously the chronology over here was that Raya number two came before Raya number one, because obviously Rav Huna made the comment, and then with Raya number one, they were referring back to the comment of Rav Huna. So the Gemara is not reporting the Rayas as they were brought chronologically in the base measure. So the Ritva points out, correct, but when Ravin and Ravashi were being Masada the Shah, they decided that the better way to arrange the rayos was al pi seder the Mishnah. That if one raya is from an earlier line in the Mishnah, another raya is from a later line in the Mishnah, they'll first mention the raya from the earlier line in the Mishnah, even though for whatever reason, unclear why that happened, but for whatever reason, it was only brought later on, but that's the one that they mentioned first. That's how the Ritva understands. So says Gemara, okay, Tenach Sela, Bar Ma'ikal Meimar. This answer works very well if you're talking about the rock that protrudes above the ground, because then it's Tashmish L'Nachas for the Bnei Mar Peset, because they how do they use that area? They use the area on top of the rock, the top surface of the rock. But Bar Ma'ikal Meimar, but if you're talking about a bar with a chulia around it, the way to use a bar is the depth of the bar. So even those who are in the Mar Peset are going to need to use the bar al yedei shulshul of at least 10 tfachim. So you see that since the Bnei Chatzar have tashmishul bezrika, because the only way the Bnei Chatzar can access the bar is by throwing over the chulia. They got to throw a bucket over the chulia to access the bar. And the Bnei Aliyah access the bar also more than 10 tfachim away, but by lowering a bucket into the bar. So don't we have a, aren't we viter back to the raya that those who have tashmisha, that Alidei Shulshul is considered tashmisha benachas? So it's exactly like Shmuel and against the Shita of Rav. So the Rishonim raised the question that Lechor, it's not a Raya, because the Tashvah of the Bnei Marpes is with only Shilshul, whereas the Tashvah of the Bnei Chatzar is Bezriko Ubishilshul. Meaning for the Bnei Chatzar to use it, they got to throw the bucket up over the walls of the bar, and then it's got to go back down into the bar. So that's Aliyah, both Zrika and Shilshul, whereas the Bnei Aliyah are to just have to lower down. That was not the Shaila that Rav and Shmuel disagreed about. Shaila Rav and Shmuel disagreed about is Lezeh Bezriko, Lezeh Bishilshul. Over here, it's Lezeh Bezriko Ubishilshul. So that maybe you'll say, yeah, the Bnei Marpes, I'd have an easier access, an easier time using it. So that's the Rishonim raised that question. So Tosfos over here in Dibra Maschul Bar and the Ritva both answered that the Svara of Rav is that Dafka, when one has Tashmisho Benachas in an objective sense, and the second one is Tashmisho Bekoshi, only then do we give to Tashmisho Benachas. Meaning, if Rav is going to say, Lezeh Bishilshul, Lezeh Bezrika, that Shnei Masurim, that we don't look at subjectively by comparison which one has easier, we just look at objectively. Does anybody here have Tashmisho Benachas? Then even in this case, where one is Tashmisho Alidei Zrika and one is Alidei Zrika Vishilshul, one is Alidei Zrika Vishilshul, one is just Alidei Shilshul, neither of them are objectively Tashmisho Benachas. So the Gemara is working with the assumption that that's the same thing. That since Rav is working objectively, that this is going to be the same exact as Lezeh Tashmisho Bezrika and Lezeh Tashmisho Al Yedei Shilshul. The Ritva raises another question that the Gemara seems to be assuming over here, that what are they using when we talk about the bar, that the access, that the usage of it is the usage of the inside of the bar, of the depth of the bar. The Mishnah didn't even use the word bar in describing what we're talking about over here. What did the Mishnah say? Chulyas habar. It wasn't talking about the bar. It was talking about the chulya, which is the dirt around the bar that's elevated above the ground level. Pashtus is, we're talking about using the area on top of that, the surface on top of the chulyas habar. And yet the Gemara takes like a davar pashut that the issue that we're dealing with is the bar itself, is the depth of the bar. So the Ritva suggests that a stam chulyas habar is not four tefachim wide. And anything that's less than four tefachim wide has a din of a makom patur, and that for sure everybody would be allowed to use. So why would we even talk about a chulyas habar? So that's why the Gemara works with the assumption that when we say chulyas habar, what we really mean is the bar atmo. What we really mean is the inside of the bar. The Gemara is clearly working with that assumption. You just have to explain why. So the Ritva says, okay, it must be that we're working with that assumption, even though it's not the pashtus of the Mishnah, because a regular chulyas habar is not even a makom that would be problematic in any sense. So Amar Rav Yisrael, Bered Rav Yehuda, Hachab Bar Melei Amayim Askin. So again, going back to our Raya. So the Raya was, I don't understand how come when it comes to the bar, we have a case of Lezeh Bishilshul and Lezeh Bizrika, and yet we say that if it's more than 10 tefachim high, it goes to the Bnei Marpeset because they have easier access. Isn't that against Rav, who says, no, if it's Tashmisho Bekasha for both of them, then it's going to be problematic? So the Gemara answers, Amar Rav Yisrael, Breid Rav Yehuda, Hachav Bar Melei Amayim Askinan. Who says that the people upstairs need to go more than 10 tefachim down to access the water in the bar? Maybe the surface of the water in the bar is very high. It's all the way up to the top of the chulia. So it's really, really high. It's not all the way down in the depth of the bar. So maybe they don't need to access Halidei Shulshul. Maybe for them, it's Pesach. It's Benachas. It's absolutely Benachas, even in an objective sense. So says Mar, how long is that going to last? Vachasra. But if they keep accessing the water that's in the bar, ultimately, the water level is going to go down. And if the water level goes down, then it's going to be the Zebah Shulshul. So how can you say automatically that just because there's water there, that that it's considered that they have easy access? So it says, no, kim the chimalia shari ki chasr nami sharia. Well, if when the bar is full, it's mutter for them, for the Bnei Aliyah. So memela, when the bar is missing a little water and the surface of the water goes down a little bit, it's also going to be mutter. It says, well, why would you say that? Adrabha, kim the chasra asira, kimalia nami asira. I would have said the other way. That it, since when the water level is lower, it's going to be also for the Bnei Aliyah, because it's Lezeb Shilshul for the Bnei Aliyah. So even when it's full, we should say that it's Aser. We should Aser on them. So Ella Amr Abai says, no, a different answer to why it's considered that for the Bnei Aliyah, it's considered Tashmisha Benachas to use the bar. Ella Amr Abai, Hacha Bibar, Meleya Peiros Haskinan. We're talking about a bar that's full of Peiros, and therefore the top surface of the Peiros is less than 10 Tfachim away from where the Bnei Aliyah are, so that's why it's Tashmisha Benachas. Frek the Gemara of Ha-Chasri, but the Peiros, ultimately, the surface is going to go down, because as they continue to take Peiros out of the bar, the level is going to go down and down and down, to the point that it's more than 10 Tfachim away from the Bnei Aliyah. No, these are Peiros that they can't take on Shabbos. Betivla. We're talking about Peiros that are Tevel, you never took Trumas and Maisas from them, and Peiros that are Tevel have a din of Muktzah. Muktzah, you're not allowed to be Metaltel on Shabbos, you're not allowed to handle on Shabbos, and therefore the Peiros are not going to be Chaser on Shabbos. So the Bnei Marpesas, so what are they doing with it? What are they doing with the whole area? Is that they're just using the top surface to put things there. They're resting things on top of these Peiros. That's all it means. But they're not actually accessing the Peiros, using the Peiros. And that top surface of the Peiros that are filling up the bar is less than 10 Tfachim from where they are. So that's why the Bnei Marpeset are allowed to use the bar. Tosus points out that since it's not something that they're allowed to take on Shabbos, it's considered as if the bar is totally filled in, and it's memait, the height of the between the bar and the marpeset, to make it as if the height is less than 10 tefachim away, because the top surface is less than tefachim away, meaning it becomes like batal legabe the karka, and it's considered that it's elevated the surface. This relates to the sugya we did a week ago, right? We spoke about you have a charetz between two chatzeros. When do we say that whatever's filling that charetz is just like part of the ground, and now you don't have a 10 tefach deep charetz anymore? So Tosos is mechalik between bitul legabe a mechitza, where even something that's not nital is not going to be memayin and is not going to be mvatal as long as it's asud lefenoso, as long as it's something that you're one day going to take, as opposed to being memayit the gova asara to be considered a pesach to the marpesa, to be considered tashmisha benachas, that we're apparently over here we're suggesting that even if one day you do plan on taking these peros, because one day you're going to take trumas and maestros, it's just that for right now you're leaving them there. Right now they're tevel, right now they're muktza, right now you're not touching them. So that's enough to be considered Tashmisha Benachas, to be considered that you have a less than 10 tefach differential between the chatzer and the between the marpeset rather and the and the surface of the peros, the top surface of the peros. Tagos Ashri Paskins. If you have a charetz between two chatzeros and you fill it up with peros that are that you fill up that charetz between with peros, you could make an eruv together with both chatzeros, because the peros become an otzer. They're there for long term storage, and it's usher to be to use them unless you already started using them in Erev Shabbos, because they're muktzah. If you designated them for long term to be stored there for the long term, so then you're not allowed to take them on Shabbos because you had no plans on using them on Shabbos. And the Ramah paskins this Hagos Hashri and Simon Shinayin Beis. So Magen Avraham asks the question, why does our sugya then have to say we're talking about peros of Tevel? Why not just say you're talking about peros that were meant to be in the bar for long term storage, and that's it? That makes it muktzah, and that's that makes it that it's considered part of the ground. So the other your rabbi writes that, yeah, we could have said that we're talking about peros musukanim, but where you didn't want to have it on Shabbos, but this answer works too, to say that we're talking about tevel, that works as well, so we don't have to say that we're talking about peros musukanim. And dekanami, dekatani, it's meduyuk to say, by chulias habar vasela, that it's dumya de sela, that the bar has to be similar to the case of the sela. What was the case of the sela? Where you're using the surface of the sela more than 10 tefachim above the ground. So you have to say the case of the bar is not where you're using the depth of the bar. You're using something that's elevated above the ground level and within 10 tefachim of the Bnei Aliyah. So it's so it must be that it's full of peros that are tevel. Oh yeah, but then why do we have to mention both bar and sela? Meaning if they're both talking about the same case, that you have something protruding above the ground level of the chatzer more than 10 tefachim, and it's you use and the Bnei Marpeset use the top surface of it, and it's less than 10 tefachim away from them. If that's the whole case, who cares what that protrusion is, whether it's a bar or whether it's a sela? Why would we have to mention both cases? So says Mar Tzricha, we need to mention both cases. Diash means sela. If it only would have told me the case of sela to leka lemigzar, I would say that there's no makom to make any sort of gzeira. Aval bar ligzar zimnin demalia peros musukanin. But in the case of a bar that's full of peros of tevel, I might think we should not allow the Bnei Marpeset to use it, because then they might come to use it even if it's filled with peros that are not mukta. And peros that are not mukta are going to be a problem, because those peros ultimately are going to be used and the ground level is going to go down and it's going to be lezeb shulshul. It's going to be more challenging for them to use it. So tzricha, that's why we need to be taught both cases. Rashi points out that the whole kasha of why do I need both is only based on the way we said that it's filled with peros of tevel. But if we would have explained like we originally thought that the bar is full of mayim, so then there is a chiddush that even though we measure from the bottom of the bar and the Bnei Marpeset can only use it alidei shulshul, but since the tashmish of the Bnei Chatzer is alidei zrika, the way Shmuel would learn it was that tashmisha alidei shulshul is more considered tashmisha benachas than tashmisha alidei zrika. So according to Shmuel, we never would have had this kasha, because there is a great chiddush in telling me about a bar malei mayim that tashmisha alidei shulshul is more benachas than tashmisha alidei zrika. But once we are saying like Rav's answer that the bar is being used for the surface above the area of the bar and above the level of the peros, so then it's exactly the same as sela. So that's why the Gemara asked that kasha, and the Gemara's answer was ein achinami. But I would have thought that when you're talking about peros, you have to be more cautious, because people might confuse peros of tevel that are mukza with peros that are not mukza. There is a discussion in Poskim about muktza that relates to our sugya. The halacha is that muktza is asur betiltul. One is not allowed to move muktza. The Chumash Hadashim discusses in the tshuva. The Chumash Hadashim writes explicitly that if let's say you have bags full of money and they're put away in a box somewhere, are you allowed to put something else on top of them in that same box? You have a closet with money, so money is muktza. The bags that the money is in are muktza, and you want to put your belts, your ties, I don't know, clothing, anything on top of those muktza items. So you're allowed to do that. So he says, no, there's no iser. He says, you're allowed to put something over muktza. What's the case in our Gemara? You have a bar that's full of peros of tevel, meaning all those peros are muktza. And yet the people want to use the surface. What do they mean, use the surface area? They're going to put things on top of the peros. And apparently it's not a problem. There's no iser of putting things on top of muktza. And he says that that Echad Me'Gedolim quotes from the Ram that you're allowed to touch the maimed in front of the Aron Kodesh, even if there are neros, even if there are candles lit there, even though it's muktza, you're not allowed to be metaltal muktza. Yeah, there's an isra of being metaltal muktza. There's no isra of nigiyah b'muktza. Can you walk by a car and just like touch it on Shabbos, right? Assuming the car is muktza, so you're not allowed to move it, you're not allowed to shake it maybe, but can you just touch it? So that's not tiltal muktza, so it's just touching muktza. There's no isser with touching muktza. So Chumash Hadashim says, but I have a problem, because there's Yerushalmi in Maseches Beitza that says that you're allowed to be kofek kli on a beitza shenolda b'Shabbos. If you have a beitza that was laid on Shabbos, an egg that was laid on Shabbos, you can take a kli and put it over the egg, even though the egg is muktza. It's the most severe form of muktza. It's nolad. It just came into existence on Shabbos. But you have to be careful, says Yerushalmi, that the kli shouldn't directly touch the egg. So why would that be the case? case. Why would it be a problem that the kli should touch the egg? I thought there's no issur of touching mukta. There's only an issur of tiltul mukta. And he says it's dochak to say that because if the kli touches the egg, since eggs are so flimsy that it will roll, and therefore by definition you're going to be metaltil it. Because the Yerushalmi is careful to say not that you have to be careful not to move the egg, but you have to be careful that the kli doesn't touch the egg. So therefore, the Truma Sedeshan says it must be that the problem over there is that you're doing it litzorech the dvara mukta. You're doing it litzorech the beta. Why are you putting a kli over the egg? You don't want the egg to crack. You want to protect the egg. So to put something over an egg, even if to touch a dvar mukta for the sake of the mukta item, is going to be aser. When to be metaltel a dvar mukta always is going to be aser, but to touch a dvar mukta is only aser when it's for the sake of the mukta item. That's how the Truman Sedeshan understands. So in Shulchan Aruch we paskin that something that's mukta you're allowed to touch as long as you don't shake it, you don't actually move it. And the Shulchan Aruch paskins that you're allowed to put a kli over a mukta item as long as you don't touch the mukta item. So why? Why as long as you don't touch? Meaning like the Yerushalmi said. So Magen Avraham says, yeah, you're allowed to touch mukta, but that's only when it's litzorech, the dvar mukta. Exactly like the Truman Sedeshan said. The Gra, however, disagrees with the Truman Sedeshan. The Gra says, no, the reason you're not allowed to touch the egg was the reason the Truman Sedeshan rejected was because an egg is so flimsy, there's no such thing as touching an egg without moving an egg. And it's only a problem to be metaltel mukta, which is a big kula. The Gra says that the only time you're going to have a problem of being kofer kli on the egg is if the egg is going to move. But you're always allowed to touch mukta, even if you're not going to be metaltel the mukta. So there's a comment that the Satmar Rebbe has in Divrei Yoel, as he quoted here in the Panini Halacha section of the Masifta. He has a comment from the Satmar Rebbe, which is an interesting comment. He says that when Chava asered by the Yetz Hadas, when Chava, in addition to the Yisra Achila, by the Yetz Hadas, she said that you can't even touch the Yetz Hadas, right, she told Adam, you're not even allowed to, she told the Nachash rather, that the mitzvah is that we're not even allowed to touch the Eitz Hadas. So she was, that was Baltosif, right? That's the source for Kala Mosif Goreya, that the Tzivoy was don't eat from it. And she tells the Nachash, don't touch him. So the Nachash pushes her against the Eitz Hadas. So it says, see, you touched it, nothing happened. So so says the Satmar Rebbe that the Gemara tells us in Maseches Yuma that Avram Avinu was Mekayim Kala Tara Kula, even Erev Tavshilin Midrabanan, at the end of Kiddushin also, that Avram Avinu was Mekayim Kala Tara Kula. So he makes an assumption. How was he Mekayim Kala Tara Kula, even the Din Midrabanan? They weren't even invented yet. So it must be that he was so attuned with his Ramach Evarav, his Shasa Gidav, that relate to the Ramach Mitzvah Sase and the Shasa Mitzvah Lo Sase, he was so naturally attuned to it that he intuited all of the mitzvahs. So he said, that's true about Avram Avinu. Adam called him Achait, which is called Kula, is the Yetzir Kappa of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for sure was able to intuit all of the mitzvos asei and mitzvos los asei, and knew what to do and what not to do. And he says it's known in the Kisvei Arizal that Erev Shabbos Acher Chatzos, you already feel the aura of Shabbos. So one who's attuned to it already feels whatever feeling one gets on Shabbos, one could get on Shabbos, that's, you can access that Erev Shabbos Acher Chatzos. When was the Chet of the Yetz Hadas? It was Erev Shabbos, Gemara says, in Shah Asiris. So it was after Chatzos. So Chava was intuiting all of the issues, all of the dinim of Shabbos. So why did you say you can't touch the Yetz Hadas? Ooh, because the Truma Sedeshan tells us that you're not allowed to touch Muksa item. Why? Because you're not allowed to touch the Muksa item because you're going to be metaltel the Muksa item when you have something that's very flimsy, that it's automatically going to move. So she intuited that there's an isra to be nogeya because of the isra tiltel of mukta. So I, but Chazal tell us she made a mistake, that it's kala mosif goreya. So he says, yeah, that she did make a mistake because she included that as part of the tzivoy of the daraisa, as opposed to sensing that was only a lower level of a derabbanan. So that was the comment that the Satmar Rebbe had related to this gemara. Okay, so says the gemara vayta. Now, raya number 3, right? I think we're up to Raya number 3. Raya number 3. So now we're going to bring Rayas to Rav against Shmuel. So it says Mar Tashima, Anshe Chatzar v'Anshe Aliyah. You have people who live in a Chatzar and people who live up in an Aliyah. Sheshach v'lo Yirvu. That didn't make an Erev between them. So same case as like our Mishnah, but this is a Braisa. So Anshe Chatzar Mishtamshin Ba'asara Tachtonim. The Anshe Chatzar use the bottom 10 Tvachim, meaning if there's a protrusion that sticks out of the wall within 10 Tvachim of the ground, that's for the usage of the Anshei Chatzar, because for them that's what we call Pesach, meaning that's Tashmisho bin Nachas, whereas the Anshei Aliyah, it's more than 10 Tfachim below them, so that would be Shilshul for them. The Anshei Aliyah, Mishtam Shem Basar Elyonim, and the Anshei Aliyah use anything that's more than 10 Tfachim above the ground. Ketzad, Ziz, Yotze Min HaKosel, there's a protrusion from the wall, Lematah Me'asara L'Chatzar, if it's within 10 Tfachim of the ground, it goes to the Chatzar. L'malah Me'asara, but if it's more than 10 Tfachim of the ground, Le'aliyah. So it sounds like only the Asara Tachtonim and Asara Elyonim are mutter. Hadebeni Beni, but anything that's between the Asara Tachtonim and Asara Elyonim, that where the Bnei Chatzar would have to use it Ali Dezrika because it's more than 10 Tfachim off the ground, and the Bnei Aliyah would have to use it Beshilshul because it's more than 10 Tfachim below where they are, Asur. Meaning, what did the Braisa tell us? That the first 10 Tfachim off the ground goes to the Bnei Chatzar. The last 10 Tfachim all the way close to the Aliyah, that goes to the Bnei Aliyah. Sounds like anything in between is going to be Asur. And that's exactly like Rab said, because the Zet Bizrikal, the Zali De Shilshul, we assume that they're equal. No, we're talking about that the whole wall is only 19 tfachim. This is Yotzim Menu, and there's a protrusion that comes out of the wall. So then, the Matame Asar Lezeb Pesach Lezeb Shilshul, and the Matame Asar Lezeb Pesach Lezeb Bizrika. Wherever that protrusion is, it's 10 tfachim away for one of them, and less than 10 tfachim away for the other. So we're not talking about any sort of in between case. So says Gemara, the fourth and final raya. Tashma, says the Gemara. We have another raya. So we had from a Mishnah that we're going to have later on. It's actually not from Bryce, from Mishnah. That if you have a house that's right over a body of water, a river, an ocean, and there's a ledge coming out of the house, a balcony coming out of the house above the water, so you can't just draw water from the river into the balcony, because the yam is a karmelis, the gezustra, the balcony, is a reshus hayachid, so you can't carry from a karmelis to a reshus hayachid. So what's the trick? How do you do it? You make a hole in the floor of the balcony that's 4 tfachim by 4 tfachim. You build walls that go down 10 tfachim below the level of the balcony, and then you lower a bucket through that, and we view those mechitzos. It's a kula that we have by mayim, that a mechitza tuliyah, we view those mechitzos as if they go straight down in the water. So whatever water you're taking out is ki'ilu, you're taking water from a reshus yachin onto your gezustra, which is a reshus yachin. So shtei gezustros l'malam izu, let's say you have two balconies, not one directly above the other, but you know, one higher than the other, near each other, and also l'aliyona v'losu l'tachtona. And they made this contraption with the hole in the balcony with the mechitzos for the aliyona, but not for the lower balcony. Shtein asuros, the members of both of the gezustros are not allowed to fill up the water on Shabbos, because they both have access through the hole, and adjeyarvu, they're both not allowed to do it until they make an erev together between them. So you see that even though the Bnei Aliona can use that hole Alide Shulshul alone, whereas the Bnei Tachtona, in order to use it, needs Zrika Vishulshul, they need to throw their bucket up to the top balcony and then go down through there, it's not considered that it's Lezet Hashmisho Benachas or Lezet Hashmisho Bekasha, right? We assume that it's considered equal, which is exactly what Rav said, that when it's Lezet Bishulshul and Lezet Bizrika, everything is equal. Says Gemara, nah, that's not a Raya. Amar Rav Ad Barava, Bibon Bnei Tachtona derech elyona lemalos. No, the case is not that the Bnei Tachtona throw the bucket up to the Bnei. They go up to the elyona in order to fill the bucket. Abayi Amar Kogon the Kayamin betoch hasara da adadi, that the Mishnah is talking about a case that the two gezustros are not more than 10 tfachim. They're less than 10 tfachim of differential in terms of height. So therefore, there's no chilik reshuyos between them. So even if the shimush of the Bnei elyona is benachas with only only b'shilshul, and the tachtona is tashmisha b'kasha, because they have a little bit of zrika together with the shilshul, they asr on each other anyway, because they're considered the same rishus. I mean, what was the old case in our Mishnah where we assume that that if it's one benachas and one of them is b'kasha, that it's no problem for the one that's benachas? That's if they you can say that they're two independent rishuyos, and each one has their own eruv. So granted, they were never married together, but they're independent rishuyos. Over here, they're not independent rishuyos. They're within 10 tefachim of each other. It's one big rishus. And lomi bayu ka'amar, lomi bayu asal tachton v'lo asal elyona. Why do we pick a case dafka where the elyona is the one that made the hole in the ground with the mechitzos? Because we're saying lomi bayu. You don't even need to tell me that if the tachton is the one that made it and not the elyona, da asiri that they're going to answer, because the even without the reason of chiluk rishuyos, they would answer on each other. Dekivin debegov asar da adadi kayamin. Since they're within 10 tefachim of each other, asrana adadi, they obviously asrana on each other. Elafilu asul elyona v'lo asul tachtona. But even if only the elyona made the hole in the ground of the mechitzos and the tachtona did not, sal kadai techamina kivin de lezeb benachas lezeb bekasha. I might have thought that since the bnei elyona have an easier time accessing the water than the bnei tachtona, leis v'lezeh shetashmisha benachas, then maybe we should allow the elyona to use it because they have tashmisha benachas, like Shmuel Svara. So you want to tell me a chiddush that no, they can't because they happen to be situated within 10 tefachim of each other, so it's considered to be even ground. Just like Rav Nachman Rav Shmuel said, Gaga samach l'rishus harabim, tzarech sulam kavua la'atiro. If you have a roof that borders on a rishus harabim, you need a sulam kavua that will go from the aliyah to the gag in order to be matir, to be metaltal from there to the marpesas and from the marpesa to it, because by making the sulam kavua, the people in the aliyah are being megaladas that they are staying away from any tashmish of the bnei rishus harabim, and they'd rather use the gag alone. So sounds like sulam kavua in, but sulam arai lo. That only if it's a sulam kavua it's going to work, but if it's a sulam arai, it's not going to work. My taima, what's the reason that without a sulam kavua the bnei aliyah are not allowed to use the gag? I isn't it tashmisho benachas for them through the marpeses because it's within the marpeses within 10 tefachim of the gag, and whereas the bnei rishus harabim it's tashmisho bekasha because it's more than 10 tefachim off of where they are. So lav mishum dekivin debetoch hasar dadadi kaimin asrana adadi. It must be because since the marpeses is within 10 tefachim of the rishus harabim, so the bnei rishus harabim asr on the bnei aliyah unless you make a sulam kavua. So you do see that there is this concept that if they're within 10 tefachim, then they asr on each other. Just one last line. Maskar of Papa Bedil Makshab Makasal of Kumsuva Sudra. Maybe the reason the bnei rishus harabim Asra the gag on the Bnei Aliyah is not because the Marpes is within 10 Tefachim of the Rishus Rabim. Maybe it's because the Bnei Rishus Rabim on weekdays would use the gag when they're exhausted and they want to take their hats off or their turbans off and put it on the gag. So you see that it's Tashmish o Benachas. So because of that Tashmish, they Asra the gag. But without that Tashmish o Benachas, the gag would not have Asra'd on the Bnei Aliyah, even though the Bnei Rishus Rabim are within 10 Tefachim of the Marpeset. So Bez Hashem, we'll begin with that tomorrow. Maybe we'll pick up from Maskefla again, Bez Hashem, tomorrow. Good day.